I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A unique characteristic of the Gospel of John is what we know as the I am statements. In them, we hear Jesus describe himself as bread, gate, resurrection and life, the way, the truth and life, and shepherd and light of the world. Each statement has its own way of describing what Jesus has been trying to tell his followers all along. God is relational. Everything is connected. And the way that it works is through love. This last I am is no different, but perhaps it is the most literal in meaning to them all. I am the true vine. The whole of this discourse, this vine discourse, is of course centered in relationality. It begins with Jesus' connection with his divine Father. God, the creator, the master gardener, is the one who tends to the vine, giving it its source, its vitality, its very life. And there is this interdependence between the vine and the vine grower. The vine grower needs the vine as much as the opposite. The vine requires tending for optimal growth and fruitfulness and the quality. The vine grower depends upon the vine for its abundance, providing sustenance and life to the branches that bear the grapes. Now, Jesus takes this particularly descriptive portrayal of mutuality and care between himself and his heavenly Father, and he employs it to try to describe once again to his disciples in this prelude to what we call the farewell discourse. So to set this in place, this happens just as we're going into Maundy Thursday. So we're kind of dropping back a little bit. As Jesus gives his mandatum, his mandate to love one another as he has loved us, as he has loved his disciples. He says, abide with me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, it must abide in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. This image of vine grower and vine demonstrates a profound dependence, belonging, and intimacy. And these are characteristic of John's gospel, love and intimacy, mutuality. We are the branches connected to that vine under the care of the one that tends it. And our sole responsibility is to allow ourselves to be nurtured and to choose to be part of something greater than ourselves. In the metaphor of vine keeping, we are reminded that fruitfulness is often accompanied by prudent pruning. Boy, that was a bad choice of descriptors to try to get out all at once. Some branches, like tired ideas and worn out ideals, are no longer able or willing to bear the weight of the fruit and must be trimmed away in order to have a healthy harvest. So several years ago, Bob and I went to help my mother with some yard work. And there were several overgrown bushes, I think, that were planted when I was just a youngster. And they were in badly need of attention. Much of them had become woody and overgrown and just kind of in the way. And in fact, a few looked like they just needed to be taken out and thrown away. But Bob went to work, cutting here, cutting there, trimming a little bit. He removed all of the obviously dead parts of these bushes. And he even trimmed back some of the stuff that looked like it might still be kind of alive. And when he got done, there was little to hope for in these bushes. And my mom was completely distraught. But Bob promised new growth. He asked my mom to trust him. He said it would take time, but it would happen. Well, you know, it really wasn't that long before new shoots started coming up, springing from what looked like old growth. And by the end of the season, these bushes were becoming really lush and vital once again. And noticeably, the newest growth happened closest to that central stalk of the bushes. And my mom has been delighted ever since and is no longer afraid to have things trimmed back. In God's pruning, the focus is less on what is being lost in the trimming and more on what new possibilities are being set before us. Staying close, close to that central stalk, close to the source of life, will make us grow and flourish. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, I love that word, abide. The writer of the gospel surely likes it too. John uses it 40 times in 33 verses. 9 times in this passage alone, abide or some form of it. It seems to carry that very essence of God's presence among us. Abiding echoes many related ways of being. Remain, endure, stand up for, persevere, persist, suffer with, accompany, embrace. Each of these descriptors speak of actions born of patience and willingness. Persistence. Abiding takes time and perhaps discipline and certainly prayer and the seeking of others in community. None of them take place within a solitary and isolated existence, but in the interconnectedness of our lives lived among the branches. Have you ever looked at a row of hedges or vines climbing a trellis? There's a trellis behind the rectory, and it's covered in vines. And it's hard to tell. I've been working on it, kind of taking out some of the dead things. I've been inspired by this passage. And it's hard to tell where one begins and another ends. It's nearly impossible. It's more than just an intricate pattern that Jesus is talking about. It's a pattern of intimacy. God in Christ, Christ in us, and we through him in each other. There is little space or time for building walls or making up reasons for holding on to things that divide or segregate or just don't work anymore. These are the qualities of relationship that the Spirit of Truth brings us to directly, and it is in that mutuality that is God. When we dwell in the love with God, the tender God who prunes us back, Christ the vine who feeds us, we are compelled to witness, to learn, and to practice abiding with each other. The community that Jesus calls us forth is one that embodies the African proverb, because we are, I am. Because we are, I am. Now, there is that troubling bit in this passage that you may have noticed, the one about the branches that don't yield fruit being tossed into the flames. None of us like to read things like that. And there's this commentary by Caroline Lewis, who is a pastor and professor, that I found really helpful in understanding this. She notes that this is not a judgment by God or Jesus that we're hearing here, contrary to where we may have heard this passage before and the way that it's been interpreted and presented. And it's not in support of beliefs that pruned branches go to heaven and removed branches are destined for hell. If there's a judgment to be made or an action that is taking place, it is something that we ourselves are doing, taking part in. Fruit or the lack of it is reflective of our own interior health. It can show where we live in connection or disconnection from one another. It's a choice that an individual can make, consciously or unconsciously, to move away from the source of life. It can be subtle. It can happen over time, and we may not even recognize it. We can hear this kind of choice when we act and talk as if all that we have is of our own making. We can be convinced that productivity and acquisition are simply a reflection of our well-being. The belief so prevalent in our society that we are independent, self-made success stories. But underneath many of our societal mythologies, we may be surprised to find out that there had been a leg up along the way, provided by governmental policies that perhaps benefited generations before us, and ultimately benefiting many of our own lives. And we may never have realized that those took place. Our stories, our successes, and our shortfalls are all intertwined, just as the vines who grow close together. Those who have lost connection with the source may find that life does not flourish, that it feels empty, even though it may look successful from the outside. John Bell and Graham Maul of the Iona community wrote this beautiful poetry in their song, "I Am the Vine." "For on your own, what can you dare? Left to yourself, no sap you share. Branches that serve their own desire find themselves broken as fuel for fire." But of course, this does not need to be the end of the story. Jesus' offer of relationship and intimacy does not have an expiration date. Jesus tells us we can ask God for whatever we need at any time, including our desire for blessed attachment to the vine, reattachment to the source. All we need to do is ask and abide once again. The song continues. "I am the vine and you are the branches, pruned and prepared for all to see, chosen to bear the fruit of heaven, if you remain and trust in me." Bearing fruit does not create disciples. Bearing fruit reveals disciples. Jesus takes the beautifully tended, lovingly tangled up, intimately meshed together imagery of the vine, and shows us yet one more way of knowing him, knowing God, and shows us how to abide in one another, in blessed community, mutuality, and love. Amen.